Well, I'm excited to speak this morning. Let's pray, and we will jump into this. So, Lord, we just thank you that you're here with us. God, just thank you for every person that is in this room. Holy Spirit, we know that you're here in such a real way. So, God, I just ask that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and understanding this morning. God, open the eyes of our heart. Lord, help us to see you. Help us to know you. Help us to hear you. God, help us to even feel your presence today. Lord, lead us this morning. And we just thank you that you're here with us and you have such a great plan for us. And Lord, thank you that football season is back. In the name of Jesus, come on, everybody said amen. Yeah, a few of you out there. Anybody watch football last night? No? Like two people. Oh my gosh. I will stop that right now and talk about the message. All right, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to ask you to turn there, even if it's in your phone, because I want you to highlight this verse. It'll be on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. And this is what it says. I will be a true father to you, and you will be my beloved sons and daughters, says the Lord Yahweh Almighty. I will be a true father to you, and you will be my beloved sons and daughters, says the Lord Yahweh Almighty. This morning, I want to preach a message to you that I'm calling Finding Confidence. Because I really believe that God wants you to be confident. God wants you as a child of God, as a Christian, as a light to the world, to be confident. So this morning we're going to talk about confidence. But before we do that, I want to do a quick little exercise. I want you to think about this, and I want you to write it down. What are you most confident in? What are you most confident about? If you're sitting next to your spouse, go ahead and write down for them what you think they are most confident in as well. And if you're a friend, hey, sit next to your friends, go ahead and write down what you think your friends are most confident in as well. You can compare notes later. You got it? Okay, now do this. Write down, this might be the easier one because this is kind of how we are. Write down what you are not confident in. What are you not confident in? Think about that for a second. What are you not confident? Don't think about it too much, but think about it. What are you not confident in? Go ahead and do that for your spouse as well. What are you not confident in? It's important to know, you know, what we have and who we are. So the interesting thing about confidence, and even as I've asked you to write this down, confidence is tangible. Think about it. When someone with confidence walks into a room, you sense it, you feel it, you know it. You know, and the same is true with someone who doesn't have confidence. Someone with a lack of confidence, they walk into a room, and you automatically know it. Have you seen those Geico commercials where the guy's getting a tattoo? And he's like, so you're the best, right? And he's like, I'm okay. And he kind of catches them off guard. So you can tell when someone's confident or someone is not confident. And there's a good chance, and it's easy to do this, that you get your identity from what you're confident in. Because we choose to operate in what we are most confident in. Think about that. We choose to operate in what we are most confident in. And we even put that on our social media bios, right? Like, oh, I'm an Enneagram 3. It's not that I read Enneagram, it's that Enneagram reads me. And we put that out there and we're like, this is who I am and I'm confident. I think I'm an Enneagram 10, but that's okay. It's okay. Listen, we want you to be confident. God wants you to be confident. And if you're confident in your job and what you do, I'm not saying that's bad. That's good. It's not bad to be confident in your job or what you do. What I am saying is that if your confidence is coming from your job or what you do, then so will your identity. And there's a problem. See, what we do is we form our identity around what we are confident in. And then we label ourselves, and other people label us according to what you and they see. The problem with that is that your confidence becomes solely based on how successful you can be in what you are confident in. And then now you have a performance-driven confidence. So what happens when you fail at what you're confident in? You see, how you see yourself affects your ability to follow others. How you see yourself affects your ability to lead others. And how you see yourself affects your ability in finding the future God has for you. Now, watch it. This is what we do in our minds. We sense God is calling us to something, and we do something like this. Well, God, I'm just a mechanic. There's no way I can be an evangelist. Or, God, I'm an introvert. There's no way I can lead worship. We do it like this, or it happens like this. God, he's just a shepherd boy. There's no way he could be king. God, I have a stuttering problem. There's no way I can talk to Pharaoh and ask him to let your people go. God, he's just a baby in a manger. There's no way he could be savior. See, what we do is we put labels on things, we find confidence in the wrong things, and then it actually shrinks our ability to do what God has called us to do, because we're only able to operate in what we think we actually are. And we only operate in what we're confident in doing. And that's a problem, because I believe God wants us to be confident in who you are. And how you see yourself affects everything. How you see yourself affects everything. If you're willing to only say that you are an Enneagram number or what your career is, then it affects exactly who you will be and what you'll be able to do. But here's the truth. You are not defined by what you do. You're not defined by what has happened to you. And you are not defined by what people say about you. You are defined by whose you are, according to Scripture. Romans 8:15, it says this, and you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. God doesn't look at you and see you according to your career specifically. And he doesn't look at you according to what has been done to you or what you have done. He sees you as a child. So in Luke 15, Jesus gives these parables about the love of God the Father. And I want to look at this one in Luke 15, verse 8. It says, there was once a woman who had 10 valuable silver coins. And when she lost one of them, she swept her entire house, diligently searching every corner of her house for that one lost coin. Now let me set this up for you the right way. This is, we wouldn't really understand what this house looked like, but they would. See, for us, we see a house today with maybe engineered hardwood floors or a nice carpet or whatever it may be with shiplap and all the good stuff. And, you know, we think that that's our house. But back in this time, the floors were nothing but hardened earth that had been walked on. They weren't level and they were hard and they were cold. And so to make them warm and to make them a little more padded, they would lay straw down. They would lay sticks down. They would have rugs that had been passed down from generation to generation, tattered and torn. And it would literally be like you're walking over just dried up grass in these houses. And so when someone would say, I've lost something in my house, it would literally be like finding a needle in a haystack. Now, you know what it's like when you lose something in your own house and how much that drives you crazy. And in your house today, you might feel like, gosh, where in the heck is this thing? But for her, the Bible says that she searched every single corner for that one lost coin. And when she finally found it, she gathered all her friends and neighbors for a celebration, telling them, come and celebrate with me. I had lost my precious silver coin, but now I found it. And that's the way God responds every time one lost sinner repents and turns to him. And he says to all his angels, let us have a joyous celebration for the one who was lost, I have found. Now this is beautiful because this really tells us how much God loves us. God loves us so much that he dispatched Jesus to go seek and save those who were lost. Like that's amazing and that's true and that's accurate. But what I want to do here is I want to actually focus on the coin for a second here. Maybe today you're here and you feel like the lost coin. You're in the house, but you feel disconnected. You're in the house and you feel overlooked. You're in this house and you feel forgotten about. You're here, but you're not really here. Because you feel like you've just been lost. You feel like you've been forgotten about and skipped over, and it's just a coin. We can get more coins. But here's what I want to point out to you. Maybe you're the reason you're lost. Or maybe you're lost because of something that's happened to you. But here's what I want to say. Just because the coin was lost doesn't mean the value of the coin was lost. And I want to say, I don't know who this is for today, but I really feel like you need to know that you're still valuable. That what's happened to you hasn't displaced your value. That what you're walking through, what's going on in your life, or what people have called you, you are still valuable today. God sees you. You are loved. You are known by God the Father. There's value on your life still. And I believe today that the Holy Spirit is on a search and rescue mission once again. And some of us are going to be found once again today in this church service. Just because you're lost doesn't mean your value is lost. And this revelation, if I take it deeper, changed my life. The piece of silver was lost, we know this, but while it was still lost, and even though it was still lost, the piece of silver was still claimed. This was lost, but it still had a name on it. It was lost, but it still had a purpose. It was lost, but it still had a reason for existence. And what you've done or what has been done to you does not define you, or what you're currently doing does not define you. Listen, because of Jesus, you stand here today claimed with a name on it, with a purpose attached to it. You are a child of God. Galatians 4 says this. It says, and so that we would know for sure that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, my Father, you're our true Father. Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs of God through Jesus the Messiah. Let me say that again to you. And because we are his, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs of God through Jesus the Messiah. Listen, this is my whole message in a sentence. You can be confident because you are his. That's it. You can be confident because you are his. Now, God gave you a career as a platform to fulfill his purpose through you. Your career is not your identity, because careers change. If you would have known me 5 years ago, you would have known me as a youth pastor. If you'd have known me 3 years ago, you would have known me as a campus pastor. If you'd have known me even further beyond that, you would have known me as who knows what. But the truth is this, is I'm not defined by my career. And I'm not defined by some number. I'm not defined by what my hobbies are. I'm not defined by anything else. I'm defined simply this: I'm a child of God. And what happens whenever we see ourselves as children of God, it opens up confidence to us. Because if we only operate in what we think we are or what we're good at, then it actually shrinks our confidence, because then we can't walk into situations that God has called us to, because we don't have the confidence, because that operates outside of our wheelhouse. And we train ourselves to stay in our lane because we don't want to look bad. We don't want to mess it up. But sometimes God calls us out of comfort and out of what our confidence actually is in, because he needs you to be you. He needs you to walk and be who he's called you to be. And so it's important that we don't let our confidence come from what we do, and we don't let people label us and let that become our confidence and our identity. So there's a story of, speaking about confidence, a story of a pastor friend of mine, and he went to go speak at this church, some other pastors, and after he spoke, they were going to go eat dinner at this nice restaurant. Him and a few pastors that got done with service, and they got ushered back into this nice little like private room, and they were eating, and they walk in, and the senior pastor who they met in the service before wasn't there, but their 13-year-old son was there. So he's like, oh, that was kind of weird. So anyways, they sit down, a 13-year-old son speaks up and says, hey, listen, sorry, dad had to take a phone call. He'll be with you guys in just a minute. So like the pastor's kind of sitting there, he's like, it's kind of awkward, like a 13-year-old son. I'm like, so like, you into Fortnite? Or like, what do you do? Like, who are you? And time goes on, and we're sitting like at 10 to 15 minutes, and the senior pastor still hasn't come up yet. So the 13-year-old son finally just says, you know what? He flags the waiter down, says, waiter, we're going to start with three of every appetizer on the menu, and you can bring them out as soon as possible. And this is an expensive restaurant, my friend's telling me. And he's like, man, we're like talking like $200, $300 just on appetizers. And I'm like, hey, I'm not trying to like, I don't want your dad to think I ordered that. Like, I'm not trying to impose. And the son's like, no, it's okay. We got it. No problem. And so my friend, he's sitting there feeling kind of awkward. And he said this, the Holy Spirit whispered to him and said, hey, don't feel awkward. That kid just knows who his dad is. And there's something about when you know who your dad is, you have a little bit more confidence in certain situations that you actually don't belong. So your age doesn't matter whenever you have confidence from the Father. Your experience doesn't matter when you got age from the Father. You know what I'm saying? When you have maturity and you have confidence from the Father. You may feel inadequate in experience, you may feel all these things, but if you look at the Bible, this is exactly who God uses. A baby in a manger, a shepherd boy, a stuttering shepherd, might as well be you and me too. But if we limit our confidence to only flow from what we do and what we're confident in, then we're just going to shrink and have a pretty small world and a pretty small wheelhouse. And I just think God wants us to have a better call on our life than that, a bigger call in our life than that. And so I want to kind of just walk you through some practical things that have helped me become in right alignment. And does anybody go to the chiropractor here? This is basically like a spiritual chiropractor appointment, and it's free, which is awesome. And this is what I've learned to do every single day, because I don't want to gain my confidence from what I do. I want to gain my confidence from being just a son of God, just being a child of God. And so it's important that, I may not be in the Word every day as much as I want to be. I certainly try to, but I don't miss a day by doing this, because I know that God's called me to greater things, and I can't achieve it if I don't have confidence from him. And so what I have to do every single morning is I lock myself in the downstairs bathroom just because I need to have a place of privacy. I've got little kids that have no sense of privacy. And so I got to like get alone for a little bit. And I look myself in the mirror, and I realize this first thing. I realize that Jesus is the only good thing in me. Like, without him, my skills are limited. Like, I'm pretty good at two things. Pretty good at talking and pretty good at just being shameless. I just got no shame. But with Jesus, I can do a lot in my life. And so I have to realize that, you know what, Jesus, because of you and because of what you've done in my life, you're the only thing that's good in me. And because of you, I have access to the Father. And so right in this moment, Lord, I choose to see you as my Father. Now, here's the problem with that sometimes, is we often see God according to how we see our earthly fathers. We often view God based upon our experience with our earthly dads. Some of us have had really good dads who have been faithful and have fathered us through situations, but guess what? Earthly fathers aren't perfect. Some of you haven't had a dad in your life. The Bible says this, says that we have a fatherless generation, which I think is one of the reasons, one of the smaller reasons that Jesus, when he said the Lord's Prayer, he said, our Father. And he's leading us to say, hey, we have a Father in heaven. And so we need to choose to see God as a father. It's a choice. Not as some angry God that is watching your every step, waiting till just you alone, mess up. Not as some God that's stressed out, balancing a bank account, wondering if he has enough to give to you today. But as a father who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, a father who sent all of heaven, the prize of heaven, to seek and save you, a father that is with you here and now, a father that through the age of time has stood undefeated, a father that is there for you. See, for me, one of the greatest breakthroughs in my life was learning that God wasn't my football coach, but he was actually my father. And, you know, I grew up in Texas where football is king, and I remember meeting my varsity football coach when I was in fourth grade. And I remember just being in awe of him. I mean, I literally remember, like, 5 years ago, sitting in a moment, and God showing me this, and showing me that he wanted to father me through that. And I was choosing to see this coach as my dad, and as someone, and I got a great dad, but I was in awe, and I remember thinking, if I could just be in his presence, if I could just win his approval, if I could just have this access just to sit in his office whenever I want. And I was looking at him like I should be, like he was some God, but he was just a human. And what I realized is after that whole season was done, I was still seeing God as this coach, as someone who really isn't that accessible to me. Someone who I still have to win approval from. Someone that I could just be their MVP. Someone that I could, and I was just finding myself and trying to prove myself and prove myself. And the breakthrough happened for me when God whispered in my heart and said, I'm not your coach, I'm your father. And everything changed for me. You see, when we see God as our father, it changes everything for us. It affects how we see ourselves because we no longer see ourselves as insignificant or barely qualified. We see ourselves as a child who God loves. And so I choose to see myself every single day as a child of God, and I line that up, and that's the foundation of who I am. Now, I'm married. I've been married for almost 10 years. And I believe that the second place in my identity is being a husband to my wife. And if I look at the story of the Bible and a story of this whole thing we're in, God first created a man and then he gave him a wife. And I firmly believe that our identity has to be in this order. We have to see ourselves as a child of God first. And if you're married, you need to see yourself as a spouse second. Because you're going to be a better spouse when you see yourself as a child of God. You're going to have way more grace to give. You're going to have way more love to give. You're going to be more secure. And now my wife and I, we have two little girls, Liliana and Theo. And that's what's third. So I'm a son of God first. I'm a husband to Aaron second. And I'm a father to Liliana and Theo. And that's me. That's who I am. And God has so graciously given me a platform in ministry to use what he has called me to be to execute his purposes from. But notice that within my identity, I didn't say I'm a pastor. I didn't say I'm a worship pastor. Maybe a few years ago, I would have said, yeah, I'm a youth pastor, but that changed in about 5 years and I became something else that God has called me to be. But when we line up the right way and we say, God, I'm a son. If you're married, I'm a spouse. If you have kids, you're a parent. And that's who you are in the right order. And then everything flows from that. Now, if you're not married and you don't have kids, let me speak to you for a second. You need to enjoy this season and let God father you through the next every season of your life. Learn to be a child of God here and now. Learn to run to him and get your confidence from him. Learn to get your identity from him. Learn to get your security for him. Learn to trust in him. Don't for a minute think that you have to change who you are. Listen, God created you on this earth either as a male or a female because he needs you to be who you are, because women have certain things that they need to bring in the earth, and men have certain things they need to bring in the earth, and the devil and the enemy would try to twist and distort that, but you are who you are for a reason. God could have picked any point in time to place you, but he chose you to be you here and now. And he needs you to be you, and you're not alone. See, deep in our heart, we have this fear that we're actually all alone. But when Jesus went to the cross, he opened the door for us to have access to the Father. Jesus says, no man comes to the Father except through me. And if you are standing here today and you're not married, see yourself as a child. See yourself as a child of God and run to him. In these next few minutes, I want to help us get in alignment today. I want to allow the Holy Spirit just to put us in the right order today. Maybe for a long time you've either felt lost, or for a long time you've just placed your identity because you've had a lot of success in your career, and that's amazing. And I believe God's blessing that. But you put your success in what you've done, and that becomes who you are. But listen, anything that comes from this earth fades. It ain't gonna last forever. And if you get your confidence and your identity from what you've been good at, it's only a matter of time before something shifts and changes. I'm not trying to speak death over your situation. What I am saying, though, is realign yourself. Get yourself back in alignment and see yourself as a child of God first. I really believe today that's what I'm here to say, and that's what I'm here to show you and here to help you become and help you see that God loves you. And he wants to father you today, no matter how old you are, no matter what season of life you're in. And so here's what I want to do is, my call this morning is for anyone who needs to line back up, to redefine yourself as a child first. Maybe you need to redefine yourself as a child and redefine yourself as a spouse. You know, the Bible says that our spouses, our husband or our wife, is a gift and reward, the greatest treasure we have. And that's something you got to be praying. You got to thank God. God, thank you for my spouse, that they're the greatest treasure and gift and reward I have. Help me to see them as that. Listen, God wants to bless your life. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be an overcomer. But when we have things out of place, it kind of disrupts the flow a little bit. And I know I'm not perfect, but I know that whenever I put myself in the right order, life kind of, it's not that it gets easier, it's just that I get sharpened and I get hardened to difficulty because I know where I'm supposed to be. I know who I am. Maybe today you don't know who you are. And you're hearing this and you're like, okay, that's it. I'm going to be a child of God today. I want to pray for you. So if this is you today, that you want to line back up, reorganize your priorities, reorganize your confidence, get your confidence from him and him alone. Would you just so boldly stand up right now so we can pray for you? Amazing. I believe that there's some husbands in this room that are standing on behalf of their families. I believe there's some spouses in this room that are standing on behalf of their families. I believe there's some single people today standing up today in hopes that, God, I'm going to be confident in who you are, not what I do. And God, I'm going to stand in you and in your love, and I'm going to have a firm foundation because I'm a child of God. Anybody else brave enough to say, I'm going to stand today because I want to find myself in the right alignment? Thank you, Lord. So I'm going to pray for you. And then I'm going to declare some truths over your life. And then we're all going to stand and worship. God, I thank you right now for every person standing. Every child of God, every son, every daughter, every husband, every spouse, every single person. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit, God, would reveal to them that they are children of God. Give them a spirit of sonship. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would help realign us so that we would be in the right order to receive what you have. We get our confidence from you in the name of Jesus. If you're standing, let me say this over you. You are the child of a kind, strong, and engaged father. A father wise enough to guide you in the way. A father generous enough to provide for your journey, and a father that is offering to walk with you every step of the way. Let me read this over you. You are a child of God, Romans 8. You are redeemed from the hand of the enemy, Psalm 107. You are forgiven, Colossians 1. You are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2. You are justified, Romans 5. You are sanctified, 1 Corinthians 6. You are a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5.
You are a partaker of his divine nature. 2 Peter, you are redeemed from the curse of the law. Galatians 3, you are delivered from the powers of darkness. Colossians 1, you are led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8, you are the light of the world. Matthew 5, you are kept in safety wherever you go. Psalm 91, all your needs are met by Jesus. Philippians 4, you get to cast all your cares on Jesus. 1 Peter, you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6, you are doing all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Romans 8, you are an heir to the blessing of Abraham. You are observing and doing the Lord's commandments. Deuteronomy 28, you are blessed coming in and blessed going out. Deuteronomy 28, you are an inheritor of eternal life. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings. You are healed by his stripes. You have authority over the enemy. You are above only and not beneath. You are more than a conqueror. You are establishing God's word here on earth. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You are daily overcoming evil. You are not moved by what you see. You are walking by faith and not by sight. You are casting down vain imaginations. You are bringing every thought captive. You are being transformed by a renewed mind. You are a laborer together with God. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Come on, stand to your feet. Let's declare this together.